In the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Covenant with the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions of the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sins.
But maybe taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God, the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying,
with scarlet robe on him. Twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away crucified. As they went out, they found the man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. When he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and said, "You who destroyed the temple and rebuilt it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests, the scribes, and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now. Cross, we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now. He desires it." He said, "I am the Son of God." The robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now, in the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of the bystanders hearing it said, "This man is calling Elijah." One of them at once ran with a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him."
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all. Amen. From the Passion History according to St. Matthew, chapter 27, verses 15 through 17. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" As we gather for worship on this day, we are conscious of the fact that Christian worship always takes place in the bright light of the Lord's resurrection. And so even on this first day of Holy Week, we worship with the glad certainty that the Lord who died and was buried is risen. In the gospel read at the very beginning of this divine service, we heard of how the crowds went to meet Jesus because they'd seen how he had raised his friend Lazarus from the dead. St. John tells us the reason why the crowd went to meet Jesus was that they had heard he had done this miracle. From time to time, in fact, more often than I'd like, I find my thoughts turning back to a conversation which took place more than 40 years ago. Some friends of mine were discussing the pitiful condition of a mutual acquaintance whose life had more or less unraveled. And I'll never forget the comment made by an older and wiser friend, "And so you see the consequences of a choice. And so you see the consequences of a choice." Our mutual acquaintance had some years before chosen to follow a path in life which at the time seemed harmless. But as so often happens, our friend was unable to see where this choice would lead. But now, the consequences of that choice had become all too painfully clear. In the Passion History read just a few moments ago, we hear about the unintended, unknown consequences of a choice. The feast of the Passover, it was the custom for the Roman governor to release to the people any prisoner they wanted. And so Pilate, in an effort to free Jesus, in whom he'd found no fault, gave the people a choice between Jesus and a notorious prisoner named Barabbas. In his gospel, St. Luke informs us that Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. Now, the irony here is that Jesus' enemies had in fact told Pilate that Jesus was likely to cause an insurrection because, so they said, Jesus had claimed to be a king. a claim that would be treason and might well provoke a rebellion against Caesar and his officials. Of course, none of this was true of Jesus. But Barabbas was in fact guilty of fomenting insurrection and was guilty of murder. Unlike the innocent Jesus, Barabbas had blood on his hands. So here was the stark choice between one who was an insurrectionist and a murderer and Jesus, prompted by their leaders. The mob demanded the release of Barabbas. And in doing that, they rejected the gentle rule of mercy which Jesus brings, and instead chose the way that would, in fact, only 40 short years later, lead to an insurrection when they rose up against their Roman masters, only to bring down on themselves the fierce might of the Roman legions, and the people of Jerusalem and its environs perished miserably by fire and sword. And so we see the consequences of a choice. Those consequences often don't appear immediately. Instead, they become clear only with the passage of perhaps many years. Now, anybody who knows anything about the history of fallen humanity also knows about the consequences of seemingly harmless choices. We see this also in our own lives, in the lives of our families, our friends. I've certainly seen it in mine. And that's why in his catechism, Dr. Luther, in his explanation of the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer, and lead us not into temptation, teaches us to pray that God would guard and keep us, so that the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature may not deceive us nor seduce us into misbelief, despair, and other great shame and vice. We pray that God would keep us from all those all too easy choices which can then so easily lead to our undoing. We know the immediate consequences of the mob's choice of Barabbas. The innocent Son of God was nailed to the cross and died in agony. There has never been a greater crime, a worse evil, in the whole long and sorry tale of human folly and sin. Because here we see that the creature lifts up his hand against his creator and kills him. But that greatest crime, that most terrible evil, was also the salvation of the whole lost world, your salvation and mine. For Jesus dies not as a justly convicted criminal, but as that innocent Lamb of God who bears in his sinless soul the stain of all the world's sin, atones for it, turns aside God's righteous wrath, and establishes that peace which the world can neither give nor take away, that holy peace between God and man, that holy union of heaven and earth. Now, there was a time when in our Lutheran churches, Palm Sunday was the day for confirmation, the day when boys and girls would themselves renew the solemn promises made by their godparents when they were baptized. I remember Confirmation Day as a day of joy, and perhaps you do too. But we can only be sad when we also remember how many who on their Confirmation Day pledged loyalty to Christ, their Savior and Lord, so soon fell away and joined the world which lies in evil, wandering in trackless wastes of folly and discontent. And so this Palm Sunday, let's remember our own baptism and our own confirmation. And as we remember, let's also think about the choices we've made, and about all those choices we'll have to make until our merciful Lord takes us to his nearer presence. We know that we cannot, by our own understanding or effort, choose Jesus as our Savior. But the Holy Spirit, working through the preaching and teaching of the gospel and through the holy sacraments, can affect that blessed choice in our own so sadly weak and sinful hearts. The mob chose the murderer, the insurrectionist, and suffered the consequences of that choice. But far more important than any choice we might make is God's merciful choice of us. That blessed mystery St. Paul points to when he writes to the Christians in the city of Ephesus, God chose us in Christ to be his children before the foundation of the world. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. As the hymn writer says, Lord, 'tis not that I did choose thee, that I know could never be, for this heart would still refuse thee had thy grace not chosen me, knowing well that if I love thee, thou, O Lord, didst love me first. And to our crucified and risen Lord, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory now and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen. And now let us stand and pray for the church and for the world, remembering especially in our prayers this morning, Helen Gray, who has been hospitalized, and Steve Knox, who is ill. Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that you did so love the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Grant that we may ponder in our hearts all that your Son has done for us and steadfastly follow him in the way that leads to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, remember your holy church throughout the world, and especially the churches united to us in sacred communion and life. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all the ministers with your holy word and sacraments, that they may truly and faithfully serve you to the glory of your holy name and to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people. Lord, in your mercy, guide and direct the President of the United States and the Governor of this state, the Congress and our legislature, and all the rulers of the earth, that we and all peoples may live quiet and peaceful lives in all godliness and honesty. Lord, in your mercy, in your mercy, drive away from us the chastening which we, by reason of our sins, have deserved, and restore health to the people of this nation and all the world. Remember the sick, especially Steve and Helen, and all those who mourn, the forsaken and the despondent, the dying, and all those who are in any adversity, especially all persecuted Christians, and all those for whom our prayers are desired. Lord, in your mercy, we also remember before you all those who have departed this life in the faith of Christ, and pray that we may be made partakers with them in the glorious resurrection to life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy, and grant that all who shall here receive the most precious body and blood of your Son may be filled with heavenly peace and joy, and receiving the forgiveness of sins together with the gifts of life and salvation, be sanctified in body and soul, and have our portion with the Blessed Virgin Mary, the holy patriarchs, prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all your saints in light. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Being seated, we continue with the next hymn.